All right, well, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the classical approach. So the ontological argument is kind of probably maybe the one most associated with classical, I would say. So the ontological argument is the only philosophical theistic proof that reasons is a purely a priori fashion from certain assumptions or ideas as a given. So it's a thing that just is known. There's no working up to it. You just have that knowledge of right. it.
Now, I I'm not sure if I would suggest that the ontological argument is one of their main arguments. I think probably the cosmological argument.
Oh, that's
true. Is probably one of the main. This is one our authors are kind of going to dismiss this one actually as being part of their entourage of arguments here. But let's kind of work our way through it so that we can understand what this one is all about.
Yeah. So there are many forms of the ontological argument, and some are too technical to discuss here. Very technical. Perhaps one of the simplest forms, if any of them may be called simple, is based on Anselm's second version of the argument, as restated by many various modern philosophers.
Right. And so there's various versions actually of all of these arguments that we're going to work our way through here as we go. And so this is this ontological argument. It's based on, you know, ontology is the idea of being, right? So God is a being that exists. He's the greatest conceivable being. That's the kind of the basis of this argument. And so here's kind of the premises and conclusion of what our authors suggest are the second version of this argument that Anselm posits here. First, the existence of a necessary being must be either a necessary existence, or an impossible existence, or a possible but not necessary existence. Right. So that's the first premise. Secondly, but the existence of a necessary being is not an impossible existence, because as far as we can see, there is nothing contradictory about the concept of a necessary being, nor is the existence of a necessary being a possible but not necessary existence, since this would be a self-contradictory claim. Therefore, the existence of a necessary being is a necessary existence. And the conclusion then is therefore a necessary being necessarily exists, right? So this is kind of, you know, I kind of see this one as kind of a magic trick, right? you do all of these definitions, and then all of a sudden, poof, God kind of pops into existence as a result of these various definitions, right?
Right. But I mean, he's necessary, like that. In order for us to see the magic show, there has to be a magician in order for the magic show to even be here. So yeah. Well, although classical apologists employ a wide variety of arguments for God's existence, most do not accept the ontological argument. Most apologists and philosophers continue to accept the rebuttal that the ontological argument commits the fallacy of deducing the existence of God from the concept of God, right? So if you define God as all the ways necessary for him to exist, then, coming up with this argument almost seems like a back end form of argumentation for it. For example, the formulation given above can be criticized by alleging that all point four means is that if a necessary being exists, his existence must be a necessary existence. This still leaves open whether a necessary being exists in the first place.
Right. So notice, if we assume that a necessary being exists, right, or that the greatest conceivable being exists, then it seems to me the argument kind of works. The problem, as being pointed out here, is why make that assumption, right? Why do we have to make that assumption? Right? And so that's kind of the issue that many people have with this particular argument.